What are we gonna do about the children that's gone astray? What are we gonna do about the mothers and fathers who are throwing their little children away? They don't realize that nothing in this world could be so wrong. They forget that God is still on his throne. And he sees with an unseeing eye. My Bible tell me they got to reap just what they sow by and by. So let us pray. If you believe in prayer,
welcome back to Nocturnal Journal. That's our friend Otis Clay. Man, that song's pretty timeless. Joining us is Pastor Michael Bellamy from Christ Temple Apostolic Faith Church in Maywood. And I learned about you through, who'll be on later, Kenny Coleman, who was on our show a few weeks ago. So Kenny invited me to your service. I was just knocked out by the service. I was knocked out by the music. Can we start talking a little bit about ministering through music? You know, I mean, what you guys do at the church is just fantastic.
Well, you know, music is a great part of our ministry. When I was in high school, I was a part of the gospel choir. Also, the senior choir had some wonderful instructors. And our church choir started back in the late 1960s, and I was part of that first formation.
I didn't know that.
Oh, yeah. And actually, the first choir that we had her name was Mamie King, and she was our first directress. And over the years, we've grown tremendously. And it is probably one of the most inspirational parts of our services. And Kenny Coleman and Teresa have done an awesome job in helping to make us have a wonderful musical department.
Your parents played in the church, right? I mean, I read your background. Your mother played piano?
No, that was the founder's daughter, May Burks, who played the piano. Mom was just a wonderful support to my dad, who pastored the church for like 48 years. Pretty much stayed in the background, but did whatever she could to be supportive. A very key role in ministry.
I mean, this is in line with what we were talking about with education. Is it more difficult to get younger musicians in church today?
You know, that's one of the major problems that we're having. Children don't seem to be interested in bringing their talents to the church. A lot of times those who are very gifted end up leaving the church and going to the secular music world where they can get more money. So especially in the apostolic churches, we're having a major problem in keeping our young people in the music department.
It's something we talked about. Of course, it's well documented. I mean, Sam Cooke went through it.
Yeah.
Mavis Staples went through it. I mean, and Otis Clay and I talked about that a lot, about going in both worlds and stuff.
Aretha Franklin?
Yeah. Can you live in both worlds?
That's a good question. Yeah. I'm glad you asked.
Well, I know that Sam Cooke, people always point about what happened to Sam Cooke, but, you know.
No, I don't believe you can live in both worlds. I think that you need to be on either one side of the fence or the other. You know, what happened to Sam Cooke was a tragedy.
Uh-huh.
Aretha Franklin, her dad, Reverend Franklin was an awesome preacher. And she came along with James Cleveland, who I'm glad that he stayed with the gospel aspect of music. But Aretha Franklin, I think it's a tragedy because I think gospel lost a lot when she went secular.
Mm-hmm.
Even though she is an awesome artist. Yeah, but I don't believe that you – I think you have to be either or.
Either one.
Yeah.
Well, Chicago Voices, you'll be getting in the gospel, right?
Absolutely. It's going to be key. I mean,
it's the birthplace of gospel music, Chicago.
Absolutely. Yeah. Yes. And I should say, it's fascinating to me to hear from opera singers who started in gospel more than you might think. So there's a real tradition that goes across genres there.
Yeah.
Your church is fantastic. Tell us a little bit about the history of the church before we break for the news. I mean, how old is the church? How long have you been there?
Well, my dad was elected to be pastor of the church 1967, 1968, when the pastor Nelson Owings passed. And so I was about 5 years old when my dad took over the ministry. At that time, it was at like 16th and Harding. So I've been there pretty much all of my life. Dad pastored it for 48 years. I served as his assistant pastor starting in 1995. And then when he passed in 2006, I succeeded him.
And give us the address of the church.
It's 502 South 6th Avenue in Maywood.
And what time are the services?
Our Bible studies are on Wednesday from 8 to 9. Our morning worship services start at 12 noon.
I want to say, I mean, I went there, and I've gone to Al Green's church in Memphis. And, I mean, it's just going to church and hearing some of this music is just, it's a wonderful experience.
Well, we've been blessed with a phenomenal musical department.
We're going to have some live music after this. How'd you find Kenny, or did Kenny find you?
Well, we found each other. It was an accident waiting to happen.
Now, we'll ask Kenny this. We'll switch microphones. But now, Kenny lives in both worlds, right? He plays blues and he does gospel.
And a blues man, a jazz man. I'm a little bit of all of it.
Kenny is universal.
Yeah. Okay, we're going to take a break for the news, and then we're going to come back with some live music, and then we're going to talk to some of Otis Clay's friends after this on Nocturnal Journal.
This is my desire to honor you, Lord, with all my heart. I worship you, I worship you, and all that is within me, I'll give you praise, and all that I adore is in you, it's in you. Lord, I give you my heart, I give you my soul, I'll live for you alone, every breath that I take, every moment I'm awake, Lord, have your way in me, in me. This is my desire to honor you, Lord, with all my heart, I worship you. And all that is within me, I will give you praise. And all that I adore is in you. It's in you. Oh, Lord, I give you my heart. I give you my soul. I'll live for you alone. say with me, how great is our God, and all will see how great is our God. Oh, 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 how great is our God. Say with me, how great is our God, and all will see how great. How great is our God.
Welcome back to Nocturnal Journal on 720 WGN. That's the Christ Temple Apostolic Faith Church from Maywood. That's Teresa Beaver Allen on vocals. And thank you guys for coming in. Tell us about that song. And I've got a question of how you guys, you know, pick material for church. But first, tell us about the song you did.
The song I did, Lord, I Give You My Heart, it's by Anthony Evans. And it's just one of those feel-good, what we would call a worship song that's common in the services.
And how long have you been in the choir?
Well, I've been teaching at Maywood for about maybe almost 2 years, coming up
almost
on 2 years.
Almost 2 years?
Yes.
And where did you grow up?
Actually, I'm from West Virginia. I'm a country girl. I'm a coal miner's daughter.
Oh, really? Really?
Yes, I am.
Because where I'm going with that is like the moods, what the needs of the congregational. Pastor, your congregation's kind of small, right? How many people are in the church?
Our average attendance is about 150 on Sundays.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So do you pick songs according to moods, according to needs? I don't know how any of that works.
I would say it's based on all of the above, kind of the needs of what's going on at that time. Sometimes if there's a sermon series, we'll try to base some around sermon series, and it's around like personal prayer or things that are going on, you know, whatever the need is at the time.
How big is the choir, generally, the one I saw when I was out there?
About 17 members.
About 17 members?
Yeah.
And that's Kenny on drums. So, Kenny, we were talking earlier. How'd you find the church? How'd they find you?
Actually, we found the church through a friend of mine that had came to play for the church. And I was in search of a new church home, and he had told me about Christ Temple. And I'm like, okay, I wanted to come and just watch. And I enjoyed the service so, and I enjoyed the message that I became a member. And I thought I was coming to sit in the service, but I found out there were no sit-down members at Christ Temple.
I saw that, yeah.
So that changed the course of everything, and I've been there since, 2010. I didn't even know it was that long, but it's been since 2010. And my friend left, and I'm still there, and I became the music director for the church.
The music director, and you play drums
mm-hmm.
there?
Okay. Yes.
Teresa, we kind of skated over the secular gospel thing. Where do you stand on that? And, I mean, who are your musical influences?
Well, I'm also a preacher's kid. So I grew up in the church. My father was Bishop Harold D. Beaver. He was the bishop over the state of West Virginia. So I've been singing basically in church all of my life. I'm more comfortable in church. I'm not really a secular singer. I like gospel music more. I guess that's where my comfort area is. So for me, I will choose gospel music.
We've got our friend, as we go back and forth with Otis Clay tonight, our friend Billy Branch is on the phone. Billy, are you there?
Yes.
How you doing? Thanks for joining us.
Yeah, Yeah, doing fairly well, all things considered. Yes, thank you.
We're on it. We've been discussing the split, the division between secular and gospel music. Your experiences with Otis, did you ever talk about that? Did you see stuff on the road in your own experience?
I don't think Otis and I really ever had that discussion, but I've been aware of those types of discussions. You know, an interesting fact, I don't know, I tuned in a little late, but did you all bring up Tommy Dorsey at all?
Not yet. We all know him, though. Yes. Yeah, know of him, yeah.
Well, you know, I mean, Tommy Dorsey, of course, as we know, is the father of modern gospel, and then also began his career as a blues singer, Georgia right. Tom, and there's that famous photo that appears in a lot of the blues and music history books. So it was my understanding that he experienced almost until his passing some stigma and some controversy because he's, you know, even his style of gospel had blues echoed of blues roots, you know.
What's interesting, you've been on the show before, and interesting thing about blues and what the thing about Otis was that I respected so much was that he was comfortable singing almost all types of music. You know, we'd get him involved in, he'd do country music shows, he'd do like the Buck Owens tributes, he sang rock and roll. I know he did a House of Blues album with a Rolling Stones tribute. You know, he did blues, he did soul. Billy, can you talk about the importance of being diversified in the blues genre?
Well, you know, Otis was, as good as it gets. And if there was one living legend, you know, outside of Buddy Guy that we could say that represented Chicago, I think we'd have to give that title to Otis. And like you just mentioned, he was comfortable in all genres, all styles. He was superb. He was a musicians, and he didn't seem to have a problem with it. Personally, I've never seen any conflict because you feel like ultimately it all comes from the creator. Uh-huh. So we acknowledge the blues as the roots of all of America's music. And, you know, there's been some debate as to whether, well, which was first, gospel or blues, you know. And I always say blues because I always say when those slaves were on those ships and before they even hit foot in America, you can bet they were singing. And whatever language they were singing in, you can bet it was the blues.
Very, very good there, Billy. You know, one reason you were important to have on the show is you're an ambassador. And Otis's loss is just going to be, he was such an ambassador for Chicago music. And all my years at the Sun-Times, you know, I wrote a story today. It was about, like, I'd go to Inez Andrews' funeral. I'd go to just gospel funerals. And who was just always in the audience and just showing his support was Otis Clay. He was mm-hmm. He was an ambassador of local music and, of course, going to Japan and going to England. Can you just talk about preaching the word of Chicago music, Billy?
I'm sorry, the last question.
Just being an ambassador for the type of music we have here.
Yes, yeah. Like I said, you couldn't get any better than Otis. You know, just a superb musician, showman, singer, and all-around nice guy. Fantastic, dynamic shows, and he did it all. You know, I mean, you couldn't put him in a box. He's one of the last, what I consider true Chicago living legends that we had. We've got, you know, and I and a lot of my peers, we grieve at the passing of so many greats that we've seen. And although Otis did experience some degree of celebrity and fame, you know, he didn't get the fame that and the recognition that a lot of us felt that he deserved. But, you know, we've seen so many greats that passed, you know, personally as a harmonica player. I saw numerous great harp players that passed and died in poverty without a dime to their name. You know, many of the, you know, like from Jimmy Reed and many more that we lost. And, you know, it just behooves Chicago to find a way to embrace this rich musical legacy that we have. I feel like, although we do have Chicago Blues Fest and we have Gospel Fest, that, you know, Chicago really needs to wrap its arms and promote and celebrate this music and these great musicians that we have, especially while they're still alive, you know what I'm saying?
Otis and I always talked about the thing about being an R&B and a soul artist in Chicago, and when he was on the show in February, we probably touched on this, is that it's Chicago being such a blues capital, Otis always said it was hard for him and, like, you know, they had big bands, him and Tyrone Davis, and to get jobs on the North Side because they had big groups and the North Side was also catering to tourists and stuff. So it would be harder. You know, I know he didn't get the props he really deserved here in Chicago, but is it harder to do rhythm and blues and soul in Chicago?
Well, yeah, Chicago is a blues town. You know, it is. And, you know, if you're a blues musician, you may not make much, but you can work every night. You know, you can do that if you choose to do it. But, yeah, in terms of a venue for rhythm and blues artists, you know, I mean, there's not much. And then plus the audiences have changed. The audiences are younger and, you know, that and a lot of the originators and the greats just like Brother Otis Clay, they're not with us anymore, you know. So now you've got this, the neo soul and the neo style of rhythm blues, which is quite a bit different, at least in my opinion.
Kenny, you play blues. Respond to some of that.
Well, you know, it's the younger generation. That's what happens. Everything changes. It doesn't remain the same. I've worked with a lot of the blues people over the past years, and, you know, some of it is still the same. You still have some of the people that are trying to keep the traditional blues going, but then the younger people are expanding, and I think it's room for everything if that's what they want to do.
Did you get, for both of you guys, for Billy and Kenny, did you talk about the difference? Otis and I used to talk about this, the difference between West Side sound and the South Side sound?
Well, you know, back in the day, there was. You had guys like Magic Sam, and, you know, the West Side sound was generally considered a little rawer, a little rougher, a little grittier, you know. But ultimately, it's not enough difference that, you know, from a musician standpoint, if you're a good musician, you'll be able to play West Side, South Side, any side, you know.
Yeah. Does any side have more gospel?
The West Side.
West Side does, yeah. Well,
no, that's what I was kidding. Yeah.
Well, you know, B.B. King used to say, you know, and several of the performers, I think even I saw a quote by Muddy Waters that said, you know, I saw recently a quote that Muddy said, you know, that's why I sound the way I do, because I came out the church. And B.B. King also stated that, you know, your best blues singers came out the church, which is true almost across the board for almost all the singers. Your best singers came out of the church, you know?
Yeah, I mean, and that's I mean, the whole connection between great soul singers and gospels is really, that's really in my wheelhouse. You know, I'm such a fan of Sam Cooke, Lou Rawls. They all came out of the church, you know?
That's right.
Yeah. Yeah, Billy, what do you got? We got about 2 minutes left, so what do you got coming up? What type of things are you doing in 2016?
Well, I'm working on a new recording. I had a fair amount of success with the last release, Blues Shock, and that was 15 years between studio releases, and we certainly don't want to have 15 years in between the next one, so we're actively working on that, and we got performances coming up at the Kinks and Mines on January 29th and 30th. I'm being prompted.
Oh, good, good, good. That's good.
And I've got something with Deacon Blues in Arlington Heights And I've got Fitzgerald's coming up next with Tom Marker.
Oh, yeah, my friend Tom Marker. Yeah.
One of your buddies, isn't it?
Yeah, right. Yeah. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. With Tom up at next Tuesday.
No, February
2nd. Oh, February
2nd. Oh, really? I thought it was next Tuesday. I talked to Bill Fitzgerald earlier tonight. So it is February 2nd.
February 2nd. So. And then we got Rosa's Lounge, February 20th. But, you know, you can always come to BillyBranch.com or our Facebook page, and it's usually pretty current.
You got a good Otis Clay story you can close us out with? I mean, you know, a show together or just running into him or just a good anecdote about Otis?
A good anecdote?
Yeah.
Oh, man, you know, I didn't hang with Otis a lot. We were in Japan together. We rode on the plane to and from first class.
Yeah.
But none that comes to mind that I'd be able to probably repeat on the air right now.
You know who was a big fan of his was Robert Plant. You went and saw him one time jamming with Bobby Bland at the Burning Spear, and then I think it was in 2005, Plant took time off from his tour to go see him at the Old Town School Folk Festival up there on the north side. And I know Robert Plant was a big Otis Clay fan.
Yeah, he had that universal appeal, man. He was greatly loved and respected, and you know, and so sudden, such a huge loss for all of us, you know, musicians and fans alike. It's just a huge loss.
Well, you take care of I know you're a young man, Billy, but you take care of yourself.
Young, right. thank you.
Not many legends left. So we're going to be back. We're going to talk more gospel music. We're going to have Dave Spector on after the news, so don't go away on Nocturnal Journal. Welcome back to Nocturnal Journal on WGN 720. Pastor Bellamy, you can hear that's from the church, I'll tell you. That's an old Wilson Pickett tune.
Yeah.
We're joined with Dave Spector. That's on the album Message in Blue that Mr. Spector did with Mr. Clay in 2014 for Delmark Records. Thanks for jumping in, Dave. I know you're working tonight.
Hey, Dave. Good to be with you, although I wish it was on happier terms.
Tell us, I know it's tough. I was up late last night just thinking about Otis. I mean, we both knew him for a long, long time. Tell us about how you guys got together and what it was like to record with him.
Well, it was really, really a dream to have him on my record. As you know, Dave, I back up a lot of different singers. I don't sing, and Otis is, you know, was one of my all-time favorite singers in Chicago, and I mean, he's one of the greatest soul singers on the planet. And I became friends with him, and I just called him one day, and I said, "Hey, man, would you be interested in being a guest on my next album?" And he just said, "Of course." And we started talking about tunes, and you know, in the studio, it was I've been recording for 25 years, and it was possibly the most powerful studio experience I've ever had working with him as a singer. I mean, even in rehearsals, he's just so intense and powerful and soulful. And it's just like he was at another level. There was no one else like him that I had ever performed with.
Just listening to that track, you know, and I was watching, he was sitting right where you are, Teresa, and it was just, you know, it just gives you goosebumps. Tell me how you picked those songs for your record. You know, I Found a Love. How'd you guys come up with that?
I suggested that. And Otis was a little skeptical at first, but he liked the idea, and I, you know, he nailed it, as you can hear. And that's him doing all of the four-part harmonies. He laid down track after track after track after track of all the harmonies. And, I mean, the lead vocal, it's just, I mean, that's deep soul power from the church, you know, like you said. So I just thought it was a perfect song for him, and I kind of thought that the tune, which is a classic, kind of needed a new version.
Yes.
So, that one was my idea. He suggested the Bobby Bland cover, This Time I'm Gone for Good, the slow minor blues on the record. And he had told me that he sung that at Bobby's funeral. And I know Otis and Bobby were pretty tight. And, you know, recording a minor blues with Otis Clay was really deep. In my opinion, the minor blues kind of have some of the most intense blues feeling of any kind of blues. So he nailed that one, too. And, you know, a friend of mine I was talking to last night said that Otis asked, you know, he really did ask who would sing that at his funeral. This Time I'm Gone for Good. It's a powerful cut.
You and I were talking this afternoon. You know, he was such a friend to me. Anytime I asked for something, he'd be at the front of the line, just help me out with a concert or a benefit or something. I know he was real tight with Tyrone Davis and just always doing stuff for people. Can you talk about, and we were talking this afternoon, I mean, his willing spirit and just what a great, decent man he was.
Yeah, just an amazingly positive spirit, which I loved. You know, I mean, I was going through a tough breakup in a relationship at the time, A Message in Blue, and he was there for me, and he gave me advice and encouragement, and you know, he was like family. And I got to meet some of his family. He had a health scare a couple of years ago, and I visited him in the hospital and met some of his kids, and they were all wonderful people. And just you know, he was down to earth and as real as it gets. And that's one of the things I love about the Chicago blues scene in particular. The legendary musicians that I've met and gotten to know and gotten to work with are sweet, down to earth, humble people. You know, no pretension, no star trips. And I mean, Otis was one of the greatest soul singers on the planet without question. And, you know, it was like hanging with your best friend when you saw him.
Did he talk about the future of soul? I mean, Billy Branch, he was just talking about, you know, and I felt this too, that he really didn't get recognized for the giant that he was in his hometown here in Chicago. Did he talk about the future of the genre of, like, soul singing?
You know, I'm involved at Evanston Space, the club, and I remember when we had a younger soul band called the Bo Keys from Memphis come in. And they were using Howard Grimes on drums from the high rhythm section, and they recorded with Otis, and he was very very excited about them, you know, younger guys playing the old school soul. That's really all I talked with him about, younger soul artists.
This is for everybody, and then we'll let you. You're at Smoke Daddy tonight, right, Dave?
I am. I'm doing a little trio gig at Smoke Daddy tonight, and you know, I talked to Otis on Wednesday, and I'd invited him to Eddie Clearwater's 81st birthday party gig tomorrow.
Right.
Said he was going to try and make it. I know he would have been there.
Yeah. This is for Teresa. This is for Kenny. This is for Pastor Bellamy. Do you see, I mean, we're talking about the influence of gospel music and soul. Do you see that coming out of the church still? I mean, are there young singers you could see crossing over and becoming soul singers today? All you guys.
Oh, well, I would say always, even the secular singers now, most of them have grown up mm-hmm. in the church. Mm-hmm. So they come from there at one point or another. So even if they do secular, there will always be a gospel soul base there. Mm-hmm. You can tell. Mm-hmm. So even now, I don't think it'll ever stop.
I think the secular world, our young people think the secular world has more to offer them than the church does. And so they will leave the church to go to secular music. It's more exciting, more money. It's not a lot of money to be made in gospel music. I don't think, Kenny, you could probably address that better than I can.
Well, there are those who make money, and then I think on the losing end is the musician may not make the, some of the people who are some of the bigger artists, they make the money more so. And that's why a lot of the musicians and singers leave the church, because they go to school to get their craft, and then they, you know, they're not compensated for what they do. So they have to, you know, go. And unfortunately, they leave the church.
Yeah, that's been a problem for years, Dave. Churches didn't believe in paying musicians, you know, compensating them for what they do professionally. And it's still a problem in some churches. When Kenny came in, sat down and talked with him, because for years our ministry didn't pay our musicians. But I realized in order to get these good musicians to get the best, you got to pay for it. It's not free. They do this professionally. It's their livelihood.
David, you've worked with so many soul singers. You hear church in the vintage soul singing?
Oh, yeah, definitely. I mean, it's all over. It's all over the influences of soul music and blues, of course, as well. I was just, you know, I just saw a band called Vintage Trouble.
Right, I know those guys.
Yeah, and that singer, I don't know his name, but he is, he's kind of got the vintage soul vibe with an updated sound. And it's cool to hear him. I believe he's from L.A. Leon Bridges is a guy you need to check out as well,
right.
A younger guy who's kind of hit the national scene pretty strong.
He's from Texas, isn't he?
I believe so, yeah.
Do you see a lot of younger soul singers coming through space, coming through your club?
I don't see a lot of them, no. That's one of my passions is to try to find younger artists who are doing great soul and blues and jazz and R&B. And we have a few, but, it's a bit rare.
It's just the passing of Otis leaves a gap that's just not going to be filled. You know,
it's really rough. It's a huge loss.
2014 Message in Blue, Delmark Records, Dave Spector, Otis Clay. Who else? There's other guests on that record, right?
I'm sorry, what did you say?
I'm giving the roster of your 2014 record, Message in Blue.
Yes, Brother John Katke, who has been in my band for a number of years, but has never sung on record, is featured on vocals on three cuts on that as well. And a harp player who was good friends with Otis as well, who's originally from Chicago, who owns a blues club in Phoenix called the Rhythm Room, Bob Corator, guests on harp on a couple tracks. It was an honor and a privilege to record with Otis. I got goosebumps, and I mean, I remember the first rehearsal. He was so powerful; it brought me to tears.
Yeah.
I was like, "Wow!" I mean, this is. I've sat in with him before. But being in the studio with him, he was all business, and he was just there to make a statement. And we had to definitely step up to the plate.
Yeah, our friend John Soss wrote a thing today about how, you know, when they did the Buck Owens thing, you know, he just like walked in the room at Shuba's and just nailed together again, you know, a Buck Owens song. I mean, he was just, he knew what he was doing.
Oh, yeah.
He's a professional.
Consummate pro and, a dangerous man on stage in the best of terms. And, you know, he was still going very, very strong at 72 and 73. I mean, he still had it. 100%.
Yeah, he played my book release party in October at Fitzgerald's, and man, he did Walk a Mile in My Shoes, and he did the long extended version of A Change is Gonna Come, Sam Cooke. It was a memorable night. He was on. He told some great stories, too. So.
Yeah.
Well, thanks, Dave, for joining us on a tough night, and and we'll stay in touch, okay?
Thanks for having me on.
Okay, thank you. We're going to be back with some more gospel music on Nocturnal Journal.
Sweet to trust in Jesus, just to take him at his word and just to rest upon his promise, just to know thus said the Lord. Jesus, Jesus, how I trust you and how I proved you. Oh,
beautiful. Welcome back to Nocturnal Journal on WGN 720. That's Teresa Beaver Allen from Christ Temple Apostolic Faith Church in Maywood.
Yes.
Got that right?
Yes, you got it.
And we're here with Pastor Michael Bellamy and our friend Kenny Coleman, who helped put this segment together. And you know, we had this segment set up, and now it's turned into a little bit of a tribute to our friend Otis Clay. Kenny, do you want to introduce the band who we have in here tonight? You can just take my mic, Kenny.
Very good. All right. We have Teresa Beaver on vocals. We have Peter Ingram on bass. And we have Brian Brown on piano. And Pastor Bellamy, our great pastor.
Thank you guys for all coming in.
Thank you.
Are you all in the church group? Everybody here? You're all on the... Okay. All right. So we're gonna. Our final song is gonna be a Mary Mary song, and we were talking, Pastor. It was interesting. I didn't even know. I was asking about earlier in the show. I was asking about the importance of these songs and how they resonate and why they resonate. So can you tell us about where you've performed this song?
Well, you know, the song that Teresa is about to sing. It was sung at the one of the funerals for Samuel Walker. This was back in August of 2014. The 13-year-old son was killed. I was supposed to meet with the dad, Samuel Walker Jr., on Thursday that following week to make funeral arrangements for his son. And then I got a call that he was gunned down that morning, so we never met. And Teresa sang this song at the funeral.
And this was in, you're telling me, was this in Humboldt Park?
This was in the Humboldt Park area.
And how did you know the family?
Well, one of the family members attended our church. And in fact, their family, a large family, has been associated with our ministry for over 35 years. So we've known the family for a long time.
I would recommend anybody listening in the area to come out and see your church. It's intimate. It's fun. It's just inspiring.
Well, thank you so much.
And I'll be back when I calm down from all this coffee. So tell us the name of this song. I thank you, everybody, for hanging in there with us tonight. Thinking about our friend Otis Clay. Thank you with the church. Thank all our phone guests. Thank Chicago Voices. The name of the song, and take it away.
The name of the song is Yesterday by Mary Mary.
Okay, thank you.
I've had enough heartache and enough headache. I've had so many ups and downs. Don't know how much more I can take. See, I decided that I've cried my last tear yesterday. Walk away. Stressing don't make it better. Don't make it better, no way. See, I decided